Well, good morning, church. Glad you are here today. If you're a guest with us and I haven't had the opportunity to meet you or to learn your name, just want to welcome you to our church family. On behalf of our church family and having you with us this morning is a great joy. And if you're here this morning because of the big give, you were here yesterday and this is your first time to Applewood, just welcome. Glad you're with us this morning. None of us have it together. We're here to worship the one who holds us together, and that's Jesus Christ, and you're going to hear a lot about him this morning. So if you have a Bible, please turn to Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30, if you need a Bible, there should be one close to you. And if you don't own one, behind you in the back lobby, there are free Bibles. Please feel free to take one on your way out this morning, a gift from us to you. How many of you here this morning ended up getting COVID? Raise your hand. All right, a lot of us. Some of you are like, why are you opening up a sermon talking about COVID, okay? It's bad memories. All right, how many of you who had COVID lost your sense of smell? Okay, how many of you have never gained your smell back? Okay, there were several in the first service. I remember catching COVID for the first time, and I lost my taste, which was weird, but I lost my smell, and I hated that. You know, you realize your senses are a blessing, especially when they're taken away. And, you know, smell is interesting. It can bring joy to your life or discomfort by what you smell. Now, I have three boys under 12, and after a soccer game, we get in my car. It's not joy we smell, all right? It's discomfort. But it was interesting because this week there was an article I was reading, the top 10 best smells in the world. All right. No, Jimmy John's did not make the list, okay? What do you think some of the top 10 smells in the world are? Shout them out. Roses. Vanilla. Bacon. All right, all that just went together, all right? Top 10, here they are. Fresh cut grass. Melted chocolate. Gas, the gas station. Who likes that smell? All right. Campfires. After it rains. Bacon. Yes. Coffee. Can I get an amen? Barbecue. Vanilla. And the number one smell, fresh air. All right. Well, today in chapter 30, you're like, why are you talking about smell, all right? Today in chapter 30, God is going to give us a glimpse into two of his favorite smells, two of his favorite aromas. It's not an article we read, it's in God's word. He's not shy, and it's very clear. Two aromas that he says, when he smells them, it's pleasing to him. All right, what are those smells? We're going to see today in chapter 30 of Exodus, the first one is the aroma of incense burned at the altar, and the second is the aroma of the anointing oil that was put on the priests and the furniture in the tabernacle. So may God, as we look at this chapter, may God open our eyes and hearts to understand not only his love for us, but how our prayers and our lives, we're going to see in this chapter, should be a sweet aroma that would constantly fill our Father's presence. All right, we're going to read all the chapter. Chapter 30, if you have a Bible, please feel free to follow along. Moreover, you shall make an altar as a place for burning incense. You shall make it out of acacia wood. Its length shall be a cubit, its width a cubit, it shall be square, its height shall be 2 cubits. Its horn shall be of one piece with it. You shall overlay it with pure gold, its top and its sides all around its horns. You shall make a gold molding all around it. You shall make 2 gold rings for it under its molding. You shall make them on its 2 side walls, opposite sides, and they shall be holders for poles with which to carry it. You shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. You shall put this altar in front of the veil that is near the Ark of the Testimony, in front of the mercy seat that is over the Ark of the Testimony where I will meet with you. Aaron shall burn fragrant incense on it. He shall burn it every morning when he trims the lamps. When Aaron trims the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense. There shall be perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. You shall not offer any strange incense on this altar or burnt offering or meal offering and shall not pour out a drink offering upon it. Aaron shall make atonement on its horns once a year. He shall make atonement on it with blood of the sin offering of atonement once a year through your generations. It is most holy to the Lord. The Lord also spoke to Moses saying, when you take a census of the sons of Israel to number them, then each one of them shall give a ransom for himself to the Lord when you number them, so that there will be no plague among them when you number them. This is what everyone who is numbered shall give, half a shekel according to the shekel of the sanctuary, half a shekel as a contribution to the Lord. Everyone who is numbered from 20 years old and over shall give the contribution to the Lord. The rich shall not pay more, and the poor shall not pay less than half a shekel. When you give the contribution to the Lord to make atonement for yourselves, you shall take the atonement money from the sons of Israel and shall give it for the service of the tent of meeting, that it may be a memorial for the sons of Israel before the Lord to make atonement for yourselves. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, you shall also make a laver of bronze with its base of bronze for washing, and you shall put it in between the tent of meeting and the altar, and you shall put water in it. Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and feet from it when they enter the tent of meeting. They shall wash with water so that they will not die. For when they approach the altar to minister by offering up smoke, a fire sacrifice to the Lord. So they shall wash their hands and their feet so that they will not die, and it shall be a perpetual statute for them, for Aaron and his descendants throughout their generations. Verse 22. Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take also for yourself the finest of spices, flowing myrrh, 500 shekels, fragrant cinnamon, half as much, 250 of the fragrant cane, 250 of cassia, 500, according to the shekel of the sanctuary of the olive oil, a hin. You shall make of these a holy anointing oil, a perfume mixture, the work of the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. With it you shall anoint the tent of meeting and the ark of the testimony and the table and all its utensils, the lampstand, its utensils, and the altar of incense. And the altar of burnt offering, all its utensils, the laver and its stand. You shall also consecrate them that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them shall be holy. You shall anoint Aaron and his sons, consecrate them, that they may minister as priests to me. You shall speak to the sons of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil to me throughout your generations. It shall not be poured on anyone's body, nor shall you make any like it in the same proportion. It is holy, and it shall be holy to you. Whoever shall mix any like it, or whoever puts any of it on a layman, shall be cut off from the people. The Lord said to Moses, take for yourself spices, stacte, onycha, galbanum, spices with pure frankincense. There shall be an equal part of each. With it you shall make incense, a perfume, the work of the perfumer, salted, pure, and holy. You shall beat some of it very fine and put part of it before the testimony in the tent of meeting where I will meet with you. It shall be most holy to you. The incense which you shall not make in the same proportion for yourselves. It shall be holy to you for the Lord. Whoever shall make any like it to use as perfume shall be cut off from his people. May God add blessing to his word. Some of you are like, what are you going to do with that? All right. If you're new here, on the back of the Applewood today, there's a sermon outline. Feel free to use that if it helps you follow along and take notes. This morning's title for the message is called The Aroma of Worship. Let's say that together. The Aroma of Worship. Here's the big idea. God longs for the sweet aroma of our prayers and our lives to fill his presence and to change the world. As we read chapter 30, God desires the sweet aroma from our prayers and our lives to fill his presence and to change the world. So let's see it in the text. First point this morning, God longs for the sweet aroma of our prayers to fill his presence. Look at verse 1 again. Moreover, you shall make an altar as a place for burning incense. So here in chapter 30, we're in this section where God is teaching his people, if you're new with us this morning, how he desires to be worshiped. The Israelites don't get to pick how they want to worship God. That God has been given chapter after chapter sharing with them how he wants to be worshiped. And the same is true today. He wants to be worshiped in spirit and in truth. But so far in these chapters, he's given instructions on how to build the tabernacle. This is the place where he is going to dwell with the people. Last week was an awesome chapter. We saw God setting apart priests to do the work in the tabernacle. How he chose Aaron and his sons to be priests. They didn't do anything to deserve it. They didn't earn it. God sovereignly chose them and that lineage to be the Levites, to be the priests, to be the mediators between God and the Israelites. Last week, they had a special 7-day ceremony to consecrate the priests. If you missed that sermon, it's online. I encourage you to go back and listen to it. But these priests were washed. They were clothed with special garments that set them apart. And when they put the garments on them, they poured oil over their heads and they were washed. And then for 7 days, blood was shed for the atonement. Sacrifices were made on their behalf so they could mediate for the people. So now we're in chapter 30. And God begins to focus on the altar of incense, which is really interesting. All right, we have a picture of this. James, a couple weeks ago, talked about all the tabernacle. But this was a piece, the altar of incense. Notice, it was covered in gold. It had 4 horns on each side. They believed horns symbolized the power of God and the ability for God to hear prayers to reach the world. And notice on it, they had the rods and the rings. Why? Because God is in process. He's moving his people into the promised land. They're going to have to pick this up and carry it. And God did not want it touched with any unholy hand. So they would use the rods and the rings. So we see a picture of the altar of incense, but it had as a very specific place inside the tabernacle. Right, we have a picture of this. This was a picture James had. Here's the tabernacle. Notice, right before the blue curtain, the veil that separated the priest from the holiest of holies, guess what's in front of it? The altar of incense. Pretty amazing, where they would light incense and the smoke would rise, which we'll talk about in a moment. But as you saw that picture, I want to put up another picture. Right, this has the outer courts. And notice, this is the second altar in the tabernacle. The first altar was made out of bronze. And remember, last week, the first altar, what would happen there, church? All the sacrifices, the atonement, the blood would be shed. And then you would deal with that on the first altar, and then you would go in, and there would be the second altar, which is the altar of incense. What would happen there? It was worship. And that one was made out of gold. So why is this significant? I want you to think about something. God set this up where before the priest could go in and worship and mediate and pray on behalf of the people, they had to go through the first altar of bronze first. And then after the blood was shed, then they can go and they can worship and they can pray to God. So what is God teaching us? In order to get to the second altar of gold that our chapter talks about, you have to deal with the first altar first. And the same is true today. What is God saying? Before you can have a relationship with him, before you can worship him, before your prayers make it into his presence, you have to go through the first altar. And what's the first altar? The bronze altar where the perfect Lamb of God, Jesus himself, was shed and his blood was spilled. In order to worship God in spirit and truth, you have to be covered by the blood of God through Christ. And I love that because we live in a day and age where people want to go to Jesus and to have God take care of them, but they want to skip the first altar. They don't want to acknowledge that blood has to be shed. They don't want to acknowledge that there's sin in the world. They don't want to acknowledge that atonement has to be made. They just want it all to be good. Let's skip the first altar and go to the second, and God help me. And it just doesn't work like that. They want to skip the altar, and they go to God, love me, bless me, take care of me. James Taylor had a hit song, Fire and Rain. Any of you know of it? Here are the lyrics. Won't you look down upon me, Jesus? You've got to help me make a stand. You've got to see me through another day. My body's aching. My time is at hand, and I won't make it any other way. Here, James Taylor, we know he didn't trust in Christ. He didn't go to the first altar. He didn't trust that Jesus was the ultimate blood of lamb. And what is he doing in his lyric? Jesus, be with me, trying to skip the first altar and go to the second. And that is the spirit of our age. And friends, we must counter that with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was acceptable back then for the priest to go to the first altar and then the second, and the same is true. You want to have a relationship with God. You want your relationship with God to be restored. You want God to hear your prayers. You want to have access into his very presence. You have to go through the first altar and trust in his son, Jesus Christ. Psalm 24 says this, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has a clean hands and a pure heart. You can picture the psalmist thinking about the tabernacle and the temple, the priests washing their hands and all the blood being shed. All of this, friends, all of this is pointing to Christ. Christ is in chapter 30. It all makes sense. How do we have clean hands and a pure heart? All of that was pointing to Jesus. Trust in Christ, surrender to Christ, and you'll have access to God. Your relationship with God will be restored. It's the only other way, only way to have reconciliation. Look at verse 7. What happened on this altar? Aaron shall burn fragrant incense on it. He shall burn it every morning when he trims the lamps. When Aaron trims the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense. There shall be perpetual, underline that word. There should be perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. So on this altar, Aaron would burn incense. The priests would burn incense. And when would they do it? Every morning and every evening. And verse 8, there'd be perpetual incense, continuous smoke rising up before the Lord, where people can look and they could probably see the smoke from the altar of incense. And look at verses 34 through 38. Like God has been so meticulous, so detail-oriented, nothing is by accident, nothing is by chance, nothing is haphazard. God has order and structure to everything. He gives very special ingredients to the incense. God doesn't say, well, whatever you can muster up, priests, around the tabernacle, just burn that. Whatever the people have laying over in their house, just bring it and we can burn that. Absolutely not. There were spices, stacte, which was a resin that came out of trees, onycha, came from fish, glands, galbanum, frankincense. We are familiar with frankincense, one of the gifts brought by the three wise men. God wanted all of this mixed together and burned as an incense. He didn't want anything else. Look at verse 9. So much so, where if you offer strange fire, if you offer some sort new manifestation, a new manifestation of worshiping God, that's not biblical. What is God saying? It's strange fire. I don't want that. I will take your life. Well, you might be here this morning, okay, what is going on? Why the incense? Why the smoke? Well, we know Scripture interprets Scripture, and we know through the storyline of the Bible and progressive revelation, we know that the incense symbolized prayers going up, prayers from the priests on behalf of the people rising up into God's presence. And God says, that smell is a sweet aroma. Just pause for a second. Think how relational God is, where he says, when you spend time, when we're praying, when we're relationally connecting with him, when there's intimacy with God, that it is a sweet smell. He loves that. And it represents relationship and prayer. Psalm 141 says this. These are just some examples. There's a lot of them. O Lord, I call upon you. Hasten to me. Give ear to my voice when I call to you. May my prayer be counted as incense before you, the lifting up of my hands as an evening offerings. Tabernacle language of incense rising, prayers. Remember in Luke 1, John the Baptist, his dad Zacharias, he was ministering in, in the temple, he was offering incense when the angel showed up and said, hey, your wife's going to get pregnant. Luke 1 says this, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And while the incense were being burned, look at verse 10, the whole multitude of the people were doing what? They were praying outside at the hour of incense offering. And in Revelation 5, there's several examples. I want to read one in verse 8. When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp, golden bowls full of incense, which are what? Prayers of the saints. Last year, I was in Italy, and we would go to these old Roman Catholic churches, and you'd walk in, and there'd be a real distinct smell, and then you would see there was incense burning, candles burning. Some of you grew up with churches like this, and now you know where it's coming from. These churches would charge $5 to get an incense or a prayer, and it's like if you do that, then your prayers really make it up to God's ear. Friends, here's the good news. We don't have to do this anymore, amen? I'm not up here having incense being lit and smoke rising. Why? Because Christ came and fulfilled it. Nowhere in the New Testament does it tell us we have to do this. Instead, the New Testament teaches us that Christ came. He came, and he was the high priest, and he was the perfect lamb, and he shed his blood, and he tore the veil. And if you trust in him, then you can have access into God's presence, and you don't need a priest praying for you. You don't need smoke to remind you of prayers that God wants you to go there by yourself personally. And we don't need smoke, Mark, reminding us to go to prayer. We don't need rising smoke reminding us, hey, there's people praying for me. What do we need? We need a visual of the rising Messiah defeating death, conquering sin once and for all. And as we see him rising to glory, what does that show us? You and I now, we have access into God's presence and we have God's ear and he loves us and he answers prayer. We have a greater incense. Greater mediator, greater lamb. Do you get the theme? And we have this priest that Hebrews 7 says is constantly making intercession for us. I mean, how awesome is this? Therefore, he is able also, Jesus, to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for him. This is Jesus' golden altar ministry for us, where even as we sit here, he is praying and he is interceding. Is that good news, church? What's going on in your world? Smile, because you have someone praying for you right now. And not only do we have him praying, but we have access. And he commands us to pray, to take advantage of that access. And just like the priest would light the incense in the morning and evening, I love that. What did that show you? They began their day with the Lord. They ended their day with the Lord, and the smoke was continual. And the same thing for us. God wants us to be praying all the time without ceasing, persisting, asking boldly. Friends, if we understood this, if we understand the power of prayer and the access we have, listen, this church is going to change. The city is going to change. This is what God desires. He doesn't want us to go through transactions. Lord, I'll scratch your back. You scratch mine. Lord, I'll do this for you as long as you do this for me. No. The gospel is, listen, understand what I've done for you and allow that love to erupt into your heart to spend every moment with me. One of the greatest tragedies in the church is that God has given us access into his presence, and yet so many of us, we don't take advantage of it like we should. If God answered all of our prayers this week, what would happen? What would happen? If God said yes to everything you prayed and I prayed, what would happen in your own life? What would happen in your workplace? What would happen in this church? What would happen on the campus of CCU and School of Mines? What would happen in your dorm? What would happen in your parents' marriage? What would happen in our church? What are we praying for? Are we taking advantage of the access? May our prayers constantly be a sweet aroma in God's presence, Robin. May he hear them. May he see them. This leads us to our second point. Not only are our prayers sweet aroma, and God longs for the sweet aroma of our lives to change the world. Look at verse 22. He transfers from the incense to the oil. Everyone say that. From the incense to the oil. Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take also for yourself the finest of spices, myrrh, cinnamon, cane, cassia. Mix them together with olive oil, and you're going to make this special oil that I want you to put on the priests and the furniture in the tabernacle. This is unbelievable. We saw last week that the oil was poured on the priest's head, but now it's coming back. And we saw last week, biblically, oil represents anointing, the Spirit of God. So now there's just this constant reminder of being set apart, of being anointed to do the work of the ministry. So much so, he wanted everyone to contribute half a shekel so that the tabernacle could have the spices and the oil to worship him the way God wants. And just like the incense, there were specific ingredients for the oil, myrrh and cinnamon and fragrant cane and cassia. And all these were crushed together, blended in olive oil. And they had to anoint the priests and the furniture. Why? What's going on here? Notice what God says. He's setting them apart. We know they're set apart in dress, and now the tabernacle and the priests, they're being set apart by smell. Think of these priests going around town, and after being anointed with this oil, everyone knew when the priest walked in to the room or wherever that that person was set apart for the work of God. That person is mediating on behalf of us and God. Why? Because of the smell. It was clothes and it was smell. It was setting them apart. So much so, God says, this oil was not to be used for anything else. You couldn't put some together and sell it on the black market. Because if you did, you'd be cut off. Your life would be taken. And all of this, again, why? It's pointing to the New Testament. What do you mean, Pastor Derek? Hear this. The Bible teaches that if you accept Jesus Christ, who was the true anointed one, then you have been anointed and you have been set apart with a special aroma. And this aroma, this anointing, is not with oil. And it's not with anything physical. It is a spiritual anointing. When you trust in Christ, God's Spirit comes and lives inside of you and seals you and dwells with you and sets you apart for God's work. So if you're in Christ, you have been clothed with a special garment, the righteousness of Jesus. And you have been anointed with a special smell. And that's the power of God's anointing working out through you a different aroma than the world. And what's that smell like? Holiness, truth, righteousness, grace, love. This goes on and on. That this should be the aroma coming out of our lives if you're in Jesus. Well, Pastor Eric, I don't know about that. Ephesians 5, listen to Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. This is what he says. Be imitators of God, beloved children. Walk in love just as Christ loved you and gave himself up for us. So imitate Jesus, walk in love, and have this be an offering and sacrifice to God as what? What does it say? As a fragrant aroma. That him sanctifying us. It's an aroma to him, but also it's an aroma to the world, the Bible says. It's different from the world. And the Bible says some people are going to be drawn to it, Jen, some people are going to see your lives. They're going to smell this difference in your life. They're going to be drawn. Others are going to want to run from it. This is what he says to the church in Corinth, 2 Corinthians 2. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, it's an aroma from death to death. To the other, aroma from life to life. Who is adequate of these things? So we see in chapter 30, the priests were set apart by their clothes and their aroma. They were different from everyone else. They were mediators. Everyone knew they were different. And friends, the same is true of you and I. Amen? This is God's desire, that we should be different from the world. That as people are around us, we don't smell like the world. We don't talk like the world. We don't look like the world. That there's an aroma of Christ in us through his anointing, his spirit. That the world is convicting the world of sin. The Holy Spirit does that through our lives and through our message of the gospel. And may that aroma be different from those in your life that don't know Christ yet. What do you mean? May we be a church where the aroma of our lives is different from the world. May the aroma of our lives be different from the world regarding what we live for. What do you mean? People in the world, they live for money and status and self and ego. But may the aroma of our lives, God's church, may we live for the word of God and the souls of men, because those two things are what's eternal. Amen. May the aroma of our lives regarding how we talk be different from the world and non-believers. What do you mean? The world swears and cusses and complains and grumbles. May the aroma of our words build others up and bless and encourage and give hope. May the aroma of our lives regarding relationships be different. The world cancels people out. You make one mistake, you're gone. And the world is defined by writing people off and unforgiveness. And I'll get that person. May the aroma of Christ in us be different. That we would forgive seven times how many? What does that say? That's a lot of forgiveness. May the aroma of our lives regarding how we spend our money be different from the world. The world is all about consuming and storing up and consuming and storing up. Yet may the aroma of Christ through us, his church, be one that we give generously and we store up in heaven because we believe it's real. May the aroma of our lives regarding our families be different. It's amazing, the world just preaching this idea for families. Be separated. There's no leadership in the home. Kids are an inconvenience. Just send them off to the world to shape their identity, shape culture, but yet may us, the church, may our aroma be different for the homes. May the men in here, may we be pastor dads to our kids. May we see kids as a joy, a gift from God, and may we be their main disciplers and raise them up to be legacy bearer, generation bearers for God's kingdom. And the list goes on and on and on. What are you saying, Pastor Derek? What do we smell like? Those closest to us, do we smell like Christ or the world's? I pray for Applewood, as people are around us, there'd be a different smell. And there is. I just want to affirm you, church, keep abiding, keep abounding. As we close yesterday at the Big Give, there are so many special moments. If you weren't able to come on out, next year when we do it, come on out, save the day. You'll be so blessed. God was just moving everywhere you turned. God was just moving. And there was this older lady that came up to me. And you could look into her eyes, Rachel, and you could see the pain. I mean, she's lived such a tough life. And she comes up and there's tears coming down her eyes. And she's like, I have never in all my life experienced an atmosphere like this. The love and the joy and the people, and you could tell she's trying to process what is happening here. And I grabbed her hand and said, it's the hope of Jesus. It's the love of Jesus. and he loves you. And here's the greatest moment. Here's the greatest news for all of us. Anyone who sees that and wants it, I told her, it's the fragrance of Christ. And guess what? You can have it too, I said. It was such a powerful moment. Friends, my prayer for us, anytime that you see oil, anytime that you see incense burning, I pray that the Holy Spirit would bring to remembrance Exodus chapter 30 in your heart and mind. And may our prayers and our lives be a pleasing aroma to our King, our Savior, our Shepherd, our Messiah, the Word of God to the people of God for the glory of God. Let's pray.